All right, we're in 1 Samuel. Here we are. 1 Samuel chapter number 1. Here's the background to this passage. Right here in Samuel is the time of the judges. So Israel is being judged. They have turned their back on the living God. They have begun worshiping idols. They have disobeyed the Lord. They've become rebellious. And so God is judging them. Sometimes God judges a nation by pestilence, by disease. Sometimes he lifts his hand of safety and allows enemy nations to bring them in bondage. Our nation, to some degree, is in judgment right now, and we have been for a good while. God does not always have to bless America. He's not obligated to. He has no favorites, but he does bless righteousness. So we see in this time in Israel, the nation has cooled off spiritually. They have cooled off toward the Lord. And we see just a couple of things here. In 1 Samuel chapter number 1, we have a woman named Hannah. She comes to the temple. And she begs God to give her a child. She says, if you give me a child, I will give him back to you. There was a shortage of leadership. And so she has a child. His name is Samuel. And so in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse number 28, the last phrase says, and he worshiped the Lord there. That's what Samuel ends up doing. And then in chapter 2, we're not going to read all the scriptures, but it says in verse 11, and Elkanah, his dad, went to Ramah to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. So there's Samuel. He is just serving the Lord. He's doing something for God, the young boy that's born. Verse 12, now the sons of Eli, that's the priest, were sons of Belial, that means the devil. They knew not the Lord. So here's this priest's kids. They're growing up in church, but they're just acting like little demons. They're church kids, but they don't know who God is. And then we see in verse 17, wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord. But Samuel ministered before the Lord being a child. And then we see a little bit further here. It says in, here we are, chapter number 3, and we're going somewhere with this. Chapter 3, verse 1, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. So here it was. Here were kids in the church living evil lives. They were immoral. They were stealing the offerings from the people. They were wreaking havoc, and they were out of control. But Samuel was in the same church, and he was serving the Lord. And Samuel was learning to pray, and Samuel was learning the Bible. And he says here in chapter 3, verse 1, and the child Samuel ministered to the Lord. And verse 4, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here am I. Verse 6, and he said, Samuel, and he said, here am I. He goes to the priest, and he says, did you call? He said, no, that's not me calling, son. That's God calling you. And thank God when God reaches down to a church from time to time and calls some young person, sometimes adults, into his service. I was thinking of Ethan Donahoe, one of our kids that grew up in our church. The first time he went out visiting, inviting people to church, he said, Pastor, can I be your partner tonight? And we had a bus, and we dropped everyone off, and we were visiting house to house, inviting people. I said, so, Ethan, tell me, when did you accept the Lord? And he said, I don't know what you're talking about. I said, so, Ethan, if you died, would you go to heaven? He says, I have no idea. And eighth grade Ethan got saved under the light post when we were out visiting. It helps if you know you're saved, if you're telling other people how to get saved. So it was some good days here for Samuel. So he's called of God. Now, let's skip down quickly to our text. A battle takes place in chapter 4. Eli the priest is an old man. He's in charge of Israel. He's 98 years of age. Two things we know about him. He's old, and the Lord uses this word, heavy. Now, I think our biggest man in our church weighs over 365 pounds. But God said about this man, he was heavy. The God who made the hippo, the God who made the elephant, the God who made the dinosaurs said, hey, that guy, Eli, he was heavy. So I'm just going to take God's word. He was a heavy man. And it says, during the middle of the battle, verse 11, chapter 4, verse 11, and the ark of God was taken, And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, that was the wicked sons, were slain. Verse 13, and when he came low, Eli sat upon a seat by the wayside watching, for his heart trembled for the ark of God. And when the man came into the city and told it, all the city cried out. Verse 15, now Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were dim that he could not see. Verse 17, and the messenger answered and said, Israel is fled before the Philistines, and there hath been also a great slaughter among the people. And thy two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God is taken. And it came to pass when he made mention of the ark of God, this is interesting, he fell off the seat backward by the seat of the gate, and his neck brake, and he died. He didn't fall off the chair when he heard his kids died. He fell off the chair when he heard the ark of God was taken. Verse 19, and his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child, near to be delivered. And when she heard the tidings that the ark of God was taken, and her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and travailed, for her pains came upon her. Verse 21, and she named the child Ichabod. I've only heard that word one time, that name. Have you? Who? What's his last name? Crane. She named the child Ichabod, saying, the glory is departed from Israel because the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband. And she said, the glory is departed from Israel. So we have here two kids serving the devil, this priest out of control. We see the daughter has this child, and she names it Ichabod. Let's pray. Father, bless this brief time we have. Thank you for the crowd that's gathered. Bless them for being here, being faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. It is natural as a Christian to cool off. As we mentioned about the fire recently after the... It's a natural thing. We cool off. Leaders cool off. Christian life, our prayer life cools off. Our church attendance cools off. Our youth cools off. And sometimes that's when the devil takes the most important thing from us. The most important thing that Israel had was that Ark of the Covenant. It had the Ten Commandments in it. It had the pot of manna. It had Aaron's rod that budded. It reminded us of God's presence, his power, and his principles. That was stolen by the enemies during this time. The theme of Judges was every man did that which was right in his own eyes. So what does this word Ichabod mean for us? It means the glory has departed. The word glory here means honor, praise, distinction, distinguished, so different, beauty, splendor. We could say in modern vernacular, the hallelujah, the shout, the wahoo, the whoopee has left. Do any of you remember during COVID how the NFL tried to have a season? Do you remember that? No cheerleaders could come. No fans could come. And there they were trying to play a game. It was pretty dead. The glory had departed. There was no crowds and no shouting. And that's what the word Ichabod means. The glory has departed. The glory can depart from a nation. Interesting. I love one of the nicknames of our flag, Old Glory, because America has had glory days. We have had some wonderful splendor days. And oftentimes, nations like ours, the glory has departed. If you've ever been to England and trying to pass out a gospel tract, England, where they had the great revivals, the great Spurgeon's Tabernacle, many great, great, great gospel ministries there, the glory's departed. It's now an atheistic country. The glory can depart from marriages. A marriage that had a glow to it and an excitement and a beauty, the glory can depart. The glory can depart from a family. A family that's got life and excitement and joy, the glory can depart. Churches, the glory can depart from a church. I heard years ago about a man that pastored a great country church. And revival came to that church, and it grew and grew and grew, and people were saved, and people were baptized, and people were added to the church, and young people were called into ministry in the mission field. And he put a sign there at the church. He cut out these letters, and it said, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." And he would oftentimes preach that pastor. He'd say, "Look, where there is no vision, the people perish." The pastor was called to another ministry, and someone else came, and pretty soon the church went down, 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 and finally it died. They locked the doors. Many years later, the original pastor came back, and the church was all boarded up, weeds in the parking lot, abandoned. He tried to get in the door and kind of forced his way in and walked in the back of the auditorium, dust everywhere, cobwebs. He began looking around and reminiscing of who sat here and who sat here. And he looked up at the pulpit where he preached thousands of messages. And he just wondered what happened. And he looked at that old sign he put up, all those letters he had stapled up. "Where there is no vision, the people perish." One of the letters had fallen off of the wall. The W. Now that sign said, "Here, there is no vision. The people perish. The glory can depart. Don't take it for granted. The glory can depart from a bus route. The glory can depart from a ministry. It can depart from a class. It can depart from our own individual lives." I think of Demas, the great disciple that the Apostle Paul had. Three times he is mentioned. He was much like a Timothy. He was going to take over the church. In Scripture, three times, here's how it says. It says, he's mentioned. It says, "Demas, my co-laborer." So we hear of Demas. Demas is involved. He's laboring. "Demas, my co-laborer." Then later on, Paul says, years pass, he says, "Demas, greet thee." Something happened. It went from Demas, the laborer, to Demas, "Tell him I said hi." The next time Demas is mentioned, it says, "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present evil world." The glory never departs quickly. It's never overnight. A nation's never great, and then it's lost it. It's gradual. We've got to always be on the lookout for the glory. We want to keep the glory. If you got a great marriage going, you want to, what's keeping it great? Let's not lose the glory. We've had some great things happen here in recent days. Some great families reached and souls saved and people baptized. We don't want to lose that. Now quickly here in the message, Samuel made it while the others didn't. Priest didn't make it. Priest's kids didn't make it. Samuel never lost the glow. He never lost the glory. What was it that Samuel did to keep the glory or get the glory back? I'm going to give you several observations from this passage here. What do we do, Pastor? Keep the glory in our family. We want to keep the glory in our marriage. We want to keep the glory in our Christian life. How do we do that so we're not a Ichabod one day? Here they are. I'll just list them. Number one, listen the first time. Listen the first time. Samuel, little boy, he's living in the temple. By the way, please don't move into our church. Okay. And so they just dropped Samuel off and said, "Would you raise him?" We don't do that here. And so Samuel's living at the temple. He hears God speak, "Samuel, Samuel." It's so real. He runs to the priest, Eli, and says, "Did you call?" It was real. Samuel was listening. Say, "Pastor, how does God speak?" He speaks through creation. Our forefathers, as they traveled west to come to California, our frontiersmen, when they slept outdoors, know what they did? They had to look up and see the stars. And they had to wonder, who made all this? They had to see the trees and the animals. They had to see all these things, and they wonder, who made this? We brought kids to camp before, church camp. It was way up on the mountains. One kid asked me, they said, "Pastor, how come we don't have stars in Napa?" They just thought there's just stars out there in the woods somewhere. They missed it. It's something. As we see God's creation, God is speaking. He's saying, "I'm great. I'm creative. I'm original. I'm majestic. I'm powerful. I am good. I'm awesome. That's what his creation is saying. He speaks through creation. How does he speak? He speaks through his word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. How does he speak? He speaks through authority, your leaders. How does a kid know what God's will is for his life this summer? Ask his parents. They'll tell him what God's will is for their life. Through our conscience. Sometimes God speaks through our conscience. Samuel listened the first time. We had a man in our church years ago in Louisiana. We just couldn't get him faithful. Had several sons. We just couldn't get him in. His kids would come to church. Daddy wouldn't come. His kids would come. Daddy wouldn't come. Daddy was busy. Daddy was making money. Eventually, through a freak accident, one of his sons died, and the daddy ended up in the hospital. He's in traction in a hospital bed. Our assistant pastor came to visit him. As soon as he walked through the door, here's what the man said. I'll never forget it. That daddy said, I'm listening now. I'm listening now. You know the great thing about Samuel? He listened the first time. Young people, you want to get it on the first time. You don't want to say, I missed it, and now at age 50, I'm going to, now I'm listening. No, you want to listen now. You want to listen now. Number two, how do you avoid Ichabod? How do you keep the glory? Number two, get your eyes off people. Get your eyes off people. Well, so-and-so. I saw so-and-so. Now look, here's Samuel. Samuel is raised in the temple. Here is the priest. He's got some self-control issues. He's got some that are acting like demons, and he can't control them. It would have been easy for Samuel to say, well, I don't want what you have, and I don't want what you have. But Samuel wanted what God had. There is always going to be a hypocrite. There's going to be someone that says something that they don't live. Get your eyes off people. Put your eyes on the Lord. Jesus never fails. Jesus never disappoints. You find hypocrites sometimes in the government, but I'm still staying in America. You find hypocrites at your job. You can put up with them because you're getting paid. You don't just quit your job. There's hypocrites on the road that don't know how to drive. And in fact, it's most people. I know how, but they don't. Heard about this guy. His wife called him and says, honey, I just heard on the news, there's some maniac driving the wrong way on the freeway, and he's going the wrong way. He said, honey, it's not one guy. It's hundreds of people coming the wrong way. You want to get your eyes off people. I wonder how many people have quit serving God because they said, that person doesn't live it. I'm going to let the whole world go to hell. I'm going to waste my whole life because I don't like how that one person lives. Join the crowd. By the way, if you don't like hypocrites, let's stop being one, huh? You know, gossip's wrong. Did you hear about something? Every one of us at some time in some area has been hypocritical. We've not practiced all that we've preached. Samuel took his eyes off people. Number three, he made temple visits special. He was at the temple all the time. He was raised in the temple. I never want church to get old to me. I've been in church since 2, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, all the way up. I'm 67 years of age. I'm here every day doing something. I'm preaching. I'm teaching. I'm doing something with the Word of God. I'm always at church. I've never got over it. I still look forward to it. I still get alone, and I pray and say, Lord, do something in my heart. Make me a blessing. If I'm hearing a sermon or I'm giving the sermon, Lord, do something special. Show up. I don't want to just be at church and you not be there. You want to make the temple visit special. Pray before you come. Speak to the Lord. Bring your Bible. Amen occasionally. Participate. Seek out a guest. I still think of Kim Fook. You older people, you remember her. She came as a guest. The Napalm Girl. The one that did more to stop the Vietnam War than any other person. She was the one that mistakenly dropped napalm bomb on her village. She runs out of her village. She's on fire. She's screaming. Her clothes are burned off. Someone took a picture. I think it was the Pulitzer Prize he got for that. It made Time Magazine. And people said, we got to stop the war. People always wondered, what happened to the girl in the picture? Did she burn to death? Did she die? What happened to her? She lived. She was Buddhist. and then an atheist. Age 19, she saw a little church. She walked in the back and sat down. Here's what she said. God, if you're real, have someone come up to me and ask me to sit with them. A few moments later, someone came up and said, thanks for coming, ma'am. Would you like to sit with us? Kim Fook was saved just a few days later. One person at a church who had the glory, who still had it, made a difference on her. And Kim Fook is witness to the Queen of England. She's been on Oprah. She's been on all these talk shows. She is reaching people we'll never meet. All because the temple visits were special. Quickly here. Have self-control. How do we keep the glory? Have self-control. Our spending, our mouth, our anger, our morals. Stop before it gets worse. Hey, David, you're looking at the neighbor. Stop before it gets worse. Hey, let's look the other way. Eve, you got the fruit in your hand. Now, put it back. I know you just lay it down. Stop before it gets worse. Have self-control quickly here. Make people a priority and not things. And not things. We just read, Eli flips over backwards and dies when he heard the ark was taken, not his sons killed. His sons dying didn't do too much to him. But when he found out a piece of equipment was stolen, he fell over backwards. Maybe you heard the story. This lady called her husband, and she says, honey, and he says, why are you late? She said, I've been in a wreck. He said, was it your fault or the other guy? Well, it was my fault. Oh, man. Do you know what this is going to do to our insurance? What happened to the car? Well, it's told. Oh, brother. She got real quiet. And then she said, you mind visiting me? I've got two broke legs. I am in the hospital. Hey, stuff can be replaced. People can't. And Samuel realized it's people that are important, not things. Not things. Quickly, here's another one. Begin growing again. How do you keep the glow? You want to grow. The Bible, all the way through, talking about Samuel, says, and he grew in the knowledge of God, and Samuel grew, and Samuel grew. There's always excitement when there's growth. I wish they wouldn't have done that. When I was in public school, they had a bean of all things, a bean growing contest. We had to put a bean in a little cup of dirt, put water on it, and someone got a prize, and they had nothing to do with it if their bean grew taller than everyone else. And I still remember Connie Montanino won the bean contest. If I'd have thought, I'd have cut that thing off, and I didn't win the contest. But growth is exciting. We'd watch it every day. I remember as a kid, it's pretty illegal now, we'd stand in the doorway and our parents would put a flat book on our head and a little pencil mark, and we'd see how tall we were. And a few months later, we'd get back there and remark it. We'd see how we grew. It was exciting. My mark kind of stayed the same for a long time. Some of you had to mark it a lot. There's an excitement to growth. There's an excitement when someone gets saved and then they start falling in love with this Bible. There's an excitement. There's an excitement when people start coming back to church and then they ask, is there something I can do? What can I do? Pastor, where's those gospel? Is it tracks? Is it like tracks? You know, you track an animal when you're hunting. Those gospel tracks, where are they? You know, there's an excitement to that in growth. I want to give you this too, quickly. He did the little things. You say, what was Samuel's job there? He didn't lose the glow. He opened the doors. That was his job as a young person. He opened the doors to the temple. You never want to get too big to do the little jobs. By the way, men, we have to pick up the chairs after the service tonight. Just want to let you know, before we get our ice cream, got to put them on the things, move them in, and then we get to eat. Okay, so just thought we'd throw that in. And then last, Samuel never hid anything from leadership. It's an important thought. God speaks to young Samuel, and he says this. He said, Samuel, Eli the priest is wicked. He won't restrain his kids. I'm firing him, and I'm putting in a priest that's going to obey me. That's what's going to happen. Eli's going to die, and his kids are going to die. That's what God told Samuel. Samuel has hears this voice, and Eli calls him in. He says, Samuel, all right, God speak to you? Yes, sir. He said, tell me everything he said. Don't hide anything from me. Yes, sir. Samuel told him, you're going to die. Your kids are going to die. God's going to replace you, and here's why. He told him everything. Get this. He didn't hide anything from his authority. Let me encourage you, young people. You'll have a lot more blessings in your life if you have no hidden sins. Don't hide. Don't keep secrets from your parents. Don't be a sneak. Don't sneak around. Don't lie. Don't cover things up. You don't want to be the kid that one day says, Mom and Dad, I never told you this, but when I was a teenager, you want to have no secrets. Let me say this to the ladies. You're married to a man, no secrets. No secrets. Well, that's my code on my phone. Well, that's my password. No. There's no secrets once you get married. I like what my wife tells me. We two be one. I don't know if that's proper English. We two be one. My money is your money. She keeps telling me that. Your money is my money. Well, what about your money? Well, I don't have any, but your money is. So I'm sure that evens out. Recently, I've just been telling her, when I die, you get it all. She goes, I know. So when's that going to happen? Anyway. He didn't hide anything. You want the glow? You can't have hidden sin. Can't have it. By the way, you can't hide it from him anyway, can you? You say, well, if I confess it, you know, confession is just telling God what he already knows. Now, I want to end with this. So there's someone that did have glory and lost it all. His name's Jesus Christ. He was in heaven as he walked through the corridors of heaven. Every angel fell on their face and worshiped him. But he left all of that glory to come to this world to see how we live, and then to die on a cross and be buried and rise from the dead, pay for our sins. Why? So one day we could see his glory for all eternity as our Savior. If you're here tonight, you do not know heaven as your home. You can have the glow for all eternity. You don't have to have Ichabod in your life written. You can live a life that's victorious and then one day spend eternity with him. Ichabod, let's get it removed from every area of our life.